Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. In today's episode, we continue down the road of CMMC, its regulations, and controls. Up next is MA.L2-3.7.6, supervise the maintenance activities of maintenance personnel without required access authorization. We'll break down what this control means, why it matters, and how it impacts your organization's cybersecurity posture. We'll also provide practical insights and strategies for achieving compliance and securing your systems effectively. So whether you're a defense contractor aiming to win more contracts or simply someone interested in bolstering your cybersecurity knowledge, you're in the right place. Hey, I'm walking here! We're joined once again today by Mike Frieder, president of On-Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC professional assessor. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman.
So, Mike, today we're talking about maintenance personnel, and this is the final control of Control Family 7. The next time we do a control video, we'll be moving on to Control Family 8, and this last control is very short. It's only one assessment point, so our audience out there, you won't have us for long this week, but don't worry, we will be back next week. So let's jump into this last control of Control Family 7. Why is this control important?
Well, I'll tell you, Roman, you know, this control is one of those things that I think, you know, the average defense contractor just simply doesn't really think about when it comes to security. And yet it is one of the single most important things when it comes to security, because it involves folks like janitors and, you know, third-party tooling vendors and just generally third parties who may come in under the guise of being trusted. But the real question is that okay? Can they be trusted? And, you know, that answer is no, not when CUI is involved. And so I think, you know, the importance of this control is to call attention and to mandate an understanding, you know, a mutual understanding between the contractor and the DoD and their third parties that, you know, you've got to grant access to anyone who is going to have access to CUI. Like, that's just all there is to it. If you're going to have access, you have to explicitly be allowed. It's not deny by exception. And I think that's, you know, a huge part of this control and understanding what it really takes here. But I'll give you a couple of really common examples. The number one common example is going to be it's going to be your maintenance person, right? You know, your folks who are doing janitorial maintenance, et cetera. For those people who have in-house maintenance of one kind or another, you know, some of our contractors have, you know, plain Jane office space and they would hardly ever have a maintenance person in there. But, you know, eventually every physical facility needs some kind of maintenance. And so what's critical is that those people be supervised while they're in the premise if they're going to have access to CUI, or even an area where CUI could exist. So, you know, as I said earlier, the janitorial folks are the worst case, because these are unidentified people who have skeleton keys to your office, who are coming in after hours when nobody else is there. And, you know, again, this is a direct requirement that if you're going to have that kind of person, then they must be supervised. This is not the normal scenario when it comes to janitorial. Another example that I see all the time in manufacturing is a tooling vendor who is just given the keys to the castle. You know, the front desk might, you know that company, but do they know that actual maintenance person who's coming in to do service on one of those big, you know, big CNC machines or any kind of industrial manufacturing machine? And unfortunately, that answer is oftentimes no. And then the question you have to ask yourself is, okay, well, what does that person have access to when they're in the facility? A lot of our manufacturers have things like job traveler packets that have explicit, you know, marked documents that are defense related just sitting out in the open because that's how they do business. And you've got to supervise these people to make sure that they're not stealing that information, taking pictures of that information, exfiltrating that information. So it's vitally important that maintenance activities be supervised. It's just kind of one of those things, Roman. It's, you would not maybe perhaps think of that because you're expecting, you know, XYZ tooling vendor. Maybe it's a big Haas machine, big, you know, CNC Haas machine or something that is, expected to have maintenance on it, but you have no idea who this person is who's coming into your facility. So again, if that's the case, you must supervise them. And the word supervise is a very interesting term, but what is oftentimes referred to with supervision is literally you've got to have a person escorting them at all times when they're in the facility. So with janitorial, if you don't have an ability to ID that person, they need to be supervised. Can supervision happen by camera? I think it can partially happen by camera. Yes. But is that adequate supervision? And I think that's going to be where a lot of people get themselves in trouble with this compliance is no, I don't think that that is adequate supervision. Again, we can get into the assessment of, the assessment points just a little bit later, but I think you'll kind of find that, just having cameras is not going to be enough to quote unquote supervise these folks.
When you said, if you're listening on an audio platform, you can't see my face, but when you said, can the supervision be done by camera? It kind of made me laugh because I wrote today's silly question, and it's funny, but we'll get to that in a second. But it did remind me of that. You mentioned the assessment points. There's just one on this one. So, what is it?
Yeah, this is a short one. So the assessment point here is determine if maintenance personnel without required access authorization are supervised during maintenance activities. So again, what we're talking about is a person who is not explicitly authorized to access your facility, an IT system, et cetera. Are they supervised and can you prove it? And they will need examples of that. So they will need examples that when they showed up to the facility, for instance, in a CMMC certification assessment that's on site. Is that maintenance personnel required to sign in? Do they have that access? Did they get a badge? Is it okay for them to be able to walk around the facility and see what they need to see? Or do they have an escort? Do they have an escort who is accompanying them throughout the facility, which is what should be the case? So again, the question is a question of how does access authorization happen? And for those without that access authorization, are they supervised during maintenance activities? Do they have an escort? Or again, virtually, are they allowed into an IT system or are they not allowed into the IT system? And as such, because they're not allowed into the IT system, do they wind up in a situation where they can't do the screen share without an authorized user supervising that maintenance session? So those are all instances, both virtually and physically, that have to be concerned. So again, a sample answer to that might be that all CUI is physically protected from access by maintenance personnel without required access authorization. So in other words, do you have a way of securing CUI while that person is there? Are there procedures written and demonstrable that prove to an assessor that CUI won't be in an area without someone who has proper authorization? And can you demonstrate that? Also, can you demonstrate if that's not the case, that you're always going to have someone escorting that other person? And I think that's a really, really big deal.
Absolutely. So, anytime you're dealing with people that aren't normally in your facility, there's a certain amount of vigilance and alertness that needs to be taken because like I said, anytime you're dealing with people, anything can happen. But other than that, are there any potential difficulties in acting this one?
Yeah, I think it's actually a very difficult control to really implement for a lot of companies. And I'll give you a couple examples. One of the things we always look for on our physical facility tours is we look at the shipping receiving area. It is so common that the UPS driver can just walk in the back bay of a manufacturing facility to get their deliveries. And the problem is that when you walk into a facility that's got CUI, now all of a sudden you have a breach, right? You literally have somebody breaching the perimeter and you've got someone who's not escorted. And so a lot of times we wind up correcting the shipping and receiving areas, and there may have to be some even physical barriers put up, and definitely a cultural change. It is not super unusual for us to find that the shipping and receiving people are very friendly with the usual UPS driver, and that person can just walk in, use the bathroom, walk around the building, do whatever, say hello to their friends, etc. The challenge is that when you're dealing in the defense industry, that is not okay. You just don't know what day that UPS driver is going to get sick, and they send an alternate driver that's unidentified to your route. And you don't have control over that because they're a third party. So I think that's a cultural issue of how that area of the company gets handled. Another one is again, large scale manufacturers who are doing a lot of, CNC machining and milling and things like that. These folks, it is very much normal to have tooling vendors just simply come and go from their building to keep these machines running 24/7, and it's just generally to keep them up and running. It's a big, big challenge. So, again, another big cultural change there, that these people may either have to be escorted or they may have to be, identified and authorized before they come to the building, or go through an authorization procedure when they enter. So having and standing up a documented authorization procedure is also another thing that is, for some strange reason, just again, it's counter to the norm that a lot of these companies have been operating with for years and years and years. So yeah, big challenges in implementing this one, but it's not impossible. We have in fact written some third-party contractor authorization systems that can be dropped into place for companies. And I think it's one of the highlights of working with us is we've solved all of these challenges before. We've solved this one, we've solved all of them really at some point in time. So I think that this is another real area where we can supervise what the companies are doing in terms of supervision, double entendre there, and basically allow them to have a system that's ready to go, drop in place to handle this, because it can be complex. And there's just kind of a way that things used to be when you were small, or maybe it was just no big deal. And there's a way it has to be now that we are formally involved in information security requirements that are legally, legally required by the U.S. government. Again, it's beginning to turn these defense contractors into more or less an extension of the government. And whether you like it or not, that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. So we mentioned this was going to be a short one, and we have arrived at the silly question that made me laugh earlier when Mike mentioned, can you supervise on camera? Which made me think of two things. But first, we'll talk about the silly question that I came up with that makes me laugh. So this control is about supervising maintenance personnel without access authorization. So do you know those tile things, those like cards and fobs that can go in your wallet or on your keys in case you lose them?
Yeah.
And there's an app on your phone and they beep so you know where they are. What if when an unauthorized maintenance person comes into the building, they're required to put one of those tile cards in their pocket so that if you need to know where they are, you can use the app and they'll beep?
It's actually a really good idea. We do have some clients that have GPS tokens built into their visitor ID badges. That is actually, believe it or not, not only a good idea, but it is an idea we've seen put in place before. So,
So you work with Tile. That's what you do. You work with Tile to get ID badges for your business made up, and then you hand it to so that you can literally track either audibly and physically the badge that these people are using. But also, when you mentioned cameras, it made me think of something else. Did you ever see the movie The Truman Show?
I have indeed, yep.
Yes, so you said, can it be supervised by camera? Like we make the maintenance people subjects of their very own Truman Show, where the sec from the second they walk in to the second they walk out, there's just a room full of people watching them. And
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Well, I don't know about a room full of people, but I'll tell you that's not super unusual. Some of our clients are again dealing with chemicals, some of our clients are dealing with some pretty wild machinery. And I'll tell you, the higher the security scenario around that client and what they do, the more those cameras and those things really come into play. The security can get pretty intense, and it should. But even for basic defense contractors, the idea of supervising these maintenance activities really needs to be, paramount. You've got to question who's in your facility so that you can be aware if there's a challenge.
I told you today's silly question was going to be something else. It made me laugh, but
Yeah.
we've already done we this control seemed to lend itself directly into like the bodyguard or what, or the bouncer kind of thing. But we've had a lot of silly questions that have centered around that in the past. So I wanted to pivot. I want to do something else, and this occurred to me, and it was funny. So that's the direction I went. But
Love it.
but that wraps up another great episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us and talking about the very important topic of requiring supervision to non-authorized maintenance people. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman. Thank you.
But the conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. If they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
Well, they should like, subscribe, and they should definitely tell a friend about our podcast so we can help them with compliance and help them win more defense work too.
You heard him. Hit that like, follow, or subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so you always know when new episodes like this one are released. And we truly would appreciate if you could take a moment to rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.